verses 8 and 9. And some important admonitions. Survival, I call them survival admonitions. So you can flourish as a believer in the angelic conflict. Of course, the background to this here isn't suffering in general. It is specific suffering from the source of people that come up against your spiritual interests and threaten you or try to drag you down. It could be anybody. The enemy pops up. They don't usually pre-announce that they're coming. It could even be somebody sometimes that you are real familiar with could do this. I'm not saying it would. It's just it's happened to believers. We are to be spiritually sober, avoiding reactor factors with regard to situations that pop up. Again, the context here and the background is these believers were under duress from their counterparts in the places that they lived. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. All right, as we pick up here on page 15 of your notes. The reason, I'll move down here, point 23. Now is the time to pull all the stops, regardless of the sacrifice, to attain to the phase two sanctification and what is promised for that. The reason believers need to be of sound thinking and on red alert is now stated in terms of how dangerous our enemy is. For the first time in Peter, opposition to believers is personified in a single adversary, clearly identified as one of his designations, the devil. Everyone else in the letter, the opposition is plural, the disobedient, the Gentiles, foolish men, unreasonable masters, negative husbands, those who revile your good behavior, make up stuff, blasphemers, the indefinite they in 3:14 and 4:14. The term adversary was used as an opponent in a lawsuit. Matthew 5:25, Luke 12:58, 18:3. And Peter has used the term because of charges being leveled against Christians. 28, hence the term devil, which means accuser. 29, Satan is forever slandering believers, either directly, as in Job 1:11, where Satan insinuated that Job was faithful to God's plan because he was a bought man. You take that all away from him, and he'll curse you. God says, you're on. Old stupid does it again, like he thinks he can outsmart God. But you can't, again, you cannot reason with this. This is complete depravity. Or his agents, as in the case of the recipients, where Satan is directly slandering, directly or via his agents. 30, this term refers consistently in the New Testament to Satan as the archenemy of God and the fountain of evil in the world. 31, the scene that Peter has in mind here is the universal conflict between the devil and the people of God. 32, the whole world is his territory. Job 1:7. 30, he operates through his demonic hordes, unclean spirits, and willing human agents, and they're all too willing. Even believers can be his agents, obviously. There's a lot of corrupt believers spouting a lot of corrupt stuff. And so they are his agents. They don't think they are, but they are. Excuse me. First, what am I doing? I'm going the wrong direction. 1 Timothy 5:15. Where he said, I want the younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house. Well, that goes over real good today, doesn't it? And give the enemy no occasion for reproach. For some have already turned aside to follow Satan. So that's just an illustration of people who are pursuing things that aren't appropriate. They don't have to be actively Satanists or anything. They're just, following a certain agenda. Let me see here. What did I do? got a bit off base there a second. Prowls about like a lion parallels the thought of Job 1:7, where God questions Satan as to what he was up to. He says, oh, I'm just moving up and down and around on the earth. Yeah. Just sightseeing, huh? He's looking for something. Start up something. Generate a new false system with his agents. The study of the angelic conflict and the angel side of it, both the elect and the fallen, is quite a study. It's quite a there's a lot to be learned about all that. The lion analogy indicates that Satan is a dangerous creature, a dangerous entity, who is always looking for prey, a victim. 37. The adjectival participle roaring suggests the intimidation factor, intended to induce believers to capitulate rather than suffer. Threats, things of this nature. You go to that church anymore, and our marriage is over. And that one's occurred. And I'm going to take the children. Well, I'm sorry to hear you talk like that. I really am. But I'm sticking with doctrine. And no, legally, you're not going to get the children full time. And when I have them, I'm bringing them to church. And they grow up, they can do what they want to do. Or, I'm going to deny you your inheritance. I got an inheritance. One that can't be denied. And God is my banker, and he'll take care of me. I put my trust in him. He's not dependent on my circumstances. He turns circumstances around for the good or for the bad. He raises someone from the very, very lowest level and makes them sit with princes. There's verses like this. He does it. He isn't dependent on what's out there. He took care of the Jews in the midst of a famine in Jacob's time. And they were run out of money. They were down. Well, that can be replenished. They're going to go to Egypt, and they wound up having Joseph until he passed. So God's got it covered. He will take care of it. Whatever your circumstances. He knows what your circumstances are, what you're up against, and his promises are just as valid for someone in that kind of a situation as somebody who's got everything, health, wealth, and so forth. The roaring is threats hurled against believers by their opponents. 39, those who capitulate are devoured or swallowed up. The word swallow is used there in that deal, swallow a camel. Death is swallowed up. 1 Corinthians 15:54 in the resurrection. Death is no more for us. It's not even anything we even be talking about. I mean, other than talk about it as a principle that exists, but not as anything that has impacted, any longer impacts us when we get our resurrection body. Death will be swallowed up. Overcome by excessive sorrow, 2 Corinthians 2:7. And the same thing as 2 Corinthians 5:4. What is mortal may be swallowed up by life. That's the resurrection again. Hebrews 11:29. The Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. They went into the trap. Revelation 12:16. The earth opened its mouth and drank up the river. This isn't a literal river. This is an attack on the Jews that are holed up in those places of safety that they were told to go to when the Antichrist AI is set in the temple, Revelation 13. That is their cue. You've got this little tiny window of opportunity, and whatever you're doing, drop everything. Don't go back to your house and pack a bag. I don't care what it is. You just get up there to these. I don't know if they're going to be airlifted or what. Because the places that God has a play, one of them is Edom. You remember the ancient Edomites? You can see pictures of it online. The city carved out of this red rock. I'm always amazed when I see what humans were able to do. They just carved this entrance with all the ornate stuff on it and everything. That was a lot of labor and skill. And these things that they had built, the ancient people in the ancient history, they weren't dummies in this regard. Well, that's one of the... We didn't go to that place because it was a hot day and we had been on the road and change cars again. But you could go, if you're over there, you can do a tourist thing and walk right into that city. Jews are going to walk in there. Well, and there's another location too. So some army, like Antichrist, will send a bunch of army out after him. They'll only do that once. Because the earth will just split and suck them all right down in it. The potential swallowing here refers not to martyrdom, a positive event. It's only positive when you do it right. And those instructions for that are in Corinthians. But to denial of the faith in order to alleviate suffering from the source of Satan's agents. Compromise, various degrees of it. Well, don't bother it with me because it ain't gonna work. Yeah, I'm sorry to lose people, but I'll see you on the other side. Peter admonishes believers to resist him in the third of the three aorist imperatives. The resistance he calls upon Christians to engage is in refusal to deny the faith in the face of threats, accusations, and temptations. 43. The satanic attack is formidable, but the weapons of our warfare will prove superior. You can win in a conflict like this, as we read in Ephesians 6:13. 44. Satan will abandon the attack if we stand up to him or his agent. When I say him, he has his agents. James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Jesus is the pattern of this. When Satan came during the 40 days in the Judean wilderness, right at the outset of his ministry, the Spirit led him to go into this unfriendly place environmentally. scorpions, all of it out there where John the Baptist ministered. He walked out there and Satan, see, it was like he's in an environment. Sometimes you're influenced by your environment. Oh, this place isn't the nicest place. It's not, you know, friendly. It's a wilderness. And then it kind of attack you in a particular environment. And then Jesus, he didn't do it right at the minute Jesus walked out there. He did it after he'd been there 40 days without adequate food and drink. So your system's weakened. You're down. And he came to him with three temptations, and Christ turned each of them away, and he left. The last one was turn bread into rocks into bread. And every one of them, Christ, this is a key, this is a deal for all of us. He came back with a specific scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone. So here's a conflict between eating bread and making bread. Violate the whole hypostatic union, which required that Jesus not tap into his deity to alleviate problems. He had that resource. It was right there. He used his deity to do other things for people and wiping out a herd of pigs. Some farmer had a bunch of pigs and put demons in each one of them. They went crazy and jumped off of a cliff and drowned. Well, you destroyed private property. It was a black market operation. Jews weren't supposed to eat pork, but they were doing it anyway, up there in a remote area. So sometimes maybe even something like a meal could be a contradiction, and you're going to put the Word of God ahead of your need. It could happen. And Satan left him. He had three rounds, and he lost every one of them. And in each one, Christ quoted a scripture. He didn't rail at him. He didn't say, you're going to wind up in the lake of fire. You're going to blah, blah, blah. No, he just did it. And he was left in such a weakened condition. I mean, I'm talking about weakened. I'm not talking about being real hungry or real thirsty. And some angels showed up, and they ministered to him. That could always happen to somebody too. You get an unexpected visitor in your life, and you entertain them, or you're around them, unawares. We got all these inbuilt protections, and all these things. And we're silly to spend any time worrying, fretting about this. Put it with the Lord and move forward. One day at a time. Okay, everything didn't happen like you wanted it today, maybe. So what? It's a day the Lord made, and you live in it, and you have a chance to be in fellowship, stay in fellowship. Not just think of yourself, but a lot of you think of others as well. You're cognizant of other believers in this church that are suffering or having tests, and you come to their aid. If it's just verbal, you help them out. I'm willing to, personally, as far as I know, because it's a greater blessing to give than it is to receive, and it's definitely a blessing to receive, but it's a greater blessing to give. That's just based on the deal, because if you give and do and help, you also get reward for it. And the pleasure of having helped another member of the royal family in their time of need. Maranatha Church is here for you. Spiritually, through prayer, through assistance, through helping you with an economic situation, and so forth. You aren't going to find that in a lot of places. We've done it all my history. We started up when we were doing Proverbs and saw the benefits related to helping believers in their time of need. Satan will abandon the attack if we stand up to him or his agents. 45, the words firm in the faith interprets resist. How do I resist? Standing for the doctrine you know to be true and not giving an inch. To resist Satan is not to engage in hostile action against anyone, but to put your trust in God and stick with the truth that you know. The imperative force of resist carries over to the adjective firm. We get our word steroid, I think. The phrase firm in your faith recalls they were strengthened in the faith in Acts 16:5. 49, the adjective firm or hard usually had negative connotations when applied to people, as in stubborn. Here the term has a positive connotation, as in rock-like resolution. I've had people try it with me. It didn't work. And I tried to treat them as fellow believers respectfully. I didn't raise my voice and call them names. I'll let God do that. I just didn't go along with their stuff, what they were trying to suggest, that I wasn't good enough for this reason or for that reason. Look, God will determine that. God didn't, and I didn't say, and who are you? Or why don't you look at your own self? I just took it on the chin, for the most part. Or some doctrine they didn't like. This hasn't happened a lot to me. Most people that do it behind your back. They're gutless and they do it online. That's what they do. That's all they got to do, is to get out and have a little web page. I don't do any of those. I don't do, and I'm not being, you may have a reason. I don't do Facebook. I don't do whatever they call them now. I don't do those. I'm not in on some approbation trip. Oh, I'll show you on Facebook the new suit I just got. Come on. Or the new car God blessed me with. Or the nice bottle of wine. Here's the empty bottle. Come on. People are really insecure, you know. Putting all that stuff out there. I would send emails where I think it's something I want to share with somebody that usually relates to the Bible, or a text message. How you doing? I'm praying for you. And I'll do that. The noun faith, of course, occurs here with the dative case. With the definite article, dative of reference. This construction can be used of either personal faith, active sense, as in those verses, which I'm not going to look up, or in reference to the body of doctrine, the faith once for all delivered to the saints. The formation of, well, we'll say, the New Testament canon of Scripture to complement the Old Testament canon of Scripture. Making all Scripture profitable if taught properly and correctly, which it often is not. I just insist on that. They'll get some things right, but the other things they botch up, something fierce. Because they weren't taught sound doctrine. Putting new wine into old wineskins, that was a no-no. Because the old wineskins had already stretched as much as they were going to, because wine expands and it ferments and it ages. And you put it in old wineskins and they're just going to break and you lose all the wine. What's that analogy relate to? Trying to incorporate into churches the law of Moses. Sabbath keeping. No work on, well, they say Sundays. or tithing. We're not authorized. That was for the age of Israel. That's how the Jews supported the temple complex and all those priests that had a full-time job being priests. They got a tax, a 10%. And it isn't for the church age. You don't find anywhere in the New Testament. The rule of thumb is let every man give as he purposes in his heart. And that's between you and the Lord. If you want to be stingy, you got a lot of money, but it just hurts you to put a $20 bill in the deal, then that's what you're going to get. Nothing. Just to be a token doing something. Remember the story of the widow's mite? She gave her last penny, we would say. All the Pharisee, the religious crowd, they were over there throwing their, because they threw it in this thing, and it was metal, and it made a bunch of noise, and it went down. And so they were over there, and they'd make all this noise. She just quietly came up there and put her last penny in there. Now, if you're God, and you would know, I'm going to take care of that woman. I'm going to turn some things for her real quick. Because he's just not going to leave her like that. She could have said, I have my last penny. I'm going to devote it to this complex and all that goes on here. She gave from her poverty. Jesus was pointing it out with his disciples. They were watching this scene. And I got one of those in my office. I got it when I was in Israel. It's called a widow's mite. It's a real funky looking little coin. That's like a worth anything. The question here is, which usage is best in this context? All other references to faith in 1 Peter refer to faith in the active sense. It'll be taken here. Let me see here. I'm going to be sure I got something. I'm going to end right now. I think I got to correct something. Okay? It could happen. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity of being together today and hearing these things. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.